Hello, and welcome to the inaugural podcast for BlackValor.net. I'm your host, Jamian Parks. I'm an Air Force veteran of 21 plus years and historian. Twice a month, I will bring your attention to the military accomplishments of Black Americans who served in the country's founding to the present. In every conflict that shaped the course of America, Black men and women have helped decide the outcomes, but they've rarely received recognition for their deeds. This podcast series is going to highlight the individuals and the units and also look at how their actions related to contemporary military, political, and social events of the time. In the interest of brevity, I will keep each episode short, probably 10 to 15 minutes long, so you can get on with your day, but give you some good information as well. As a supplement to the podcast, the companion website, www.blackvalor.net, will list episode transcripts and other information or media related to Black military history. I had the opportunity while I was in the military to visit many of the battlefields, towns, and cemeteries of World Wars I and II. I also spent time in South Korea and had a chance to explore some of the Korean War sites. And through these trips, I've collected a large number of pictures and memorabilia. And over the course of time, I'm going to be posting those things on the site. And whenever possible, I'll post them in conjunction with the podcast that have kind of inspired me to go to those places. So you can tie what I'm saying to what I've seen, what I've collected, and hopefully I'll give you a better experience as well. So much more to come on that front. For this podcast, I'm going to provide an overview of the 2nd Ranger Battalion, which fought in the Korean War. This is an impressive unit that represented the first and only all-Black Ranger Battalion. A little background information is necessary if you haven't heard much about the Rangers or know of their background, so I'll cover a little bit of that for you now. I feel that understanding the background where they came from really adds to the pedigree of this group and shows you how remarkable the 2nd Ranger Battalion story truly is. So American Ranger units had their beginning in a group of Ranger companies. So these were people who went forward behind enemy lines or out far from what would be considered civilized areas. And that's why they considered them Rangers. They ranged out. And they were composed of mainly soldiers and woodsmen, and they were led by Robert Rogers during the 18th century. Robert's Rangers were a light infantry force that operated for the British in the 1750s during the French and Indian War, and was later revived as a loyalist unit during the American Revolutionary War, but some of them also became patriots, worked with militiamen. The first modern Ranger organization was formed on June 19, 1942 by Army General Order No. 7. Prior to activation of the Rangers, General George Marshall had sent Colonel Lucien Truscott to England to help pave the way for future combined operations with the British forces. Specifically, Colonel Truscott was attached to Lord Louis Mountbatten's commandos, and they were famous for the Dieppe raid, which wasn't so successful because of poor planning, but the commandos themselves had a very distinguished history and action against the Germans throughout the war. General Marshall was impressed with the commandos, and he wanted to establish similar companies in the United States Army. To select the men to fill Ranger billets, Marshall stated that those recruits should be well-trained, they had to have good judgment, initiative, common sense, and, of course, they had to be in excellent physical condition because of the rigors that would be placed on them for combat and even just in getting to those locations. Also, he preferred soldiers who exhibited skills in demolition, weaponry, mountaineering, and seamanship. The 2nd Ranger Battalion was activated on 1 April 1943 at Camp Forest, Tennessee. Most notably, The battalion was instrumental in clearing German defenders from the French beaches on June 6, 1944. So this was during D-Day. The 2nd Rangers landed at the near-impregnable cliffs at Point du Hoc, which, if you look at those famous pictures of the D-Day battle, it's the rock that's jutting out farther than most of the others around it, out into the water, but at that location. According to Robert Black, he is the author of Rangers in World War II, no unit had better claim to being the first on the high ground at Omaha Beach. And the exploits of Company C of the 2nd Ranger Battalion are immortalized in Steven Spielberg's 1998 film Saving Private Ryan. During World War II, unique parachute combat units were not limited to white troop formations. So the 2nd Ranger formation initially was an all-white unit. But the all-black 555th Parachute Infantry Regiment, commonly referred to as the Triple Nickels, was activated at Fort Benning, Georgia on 30 December 1943. This unit was created on the recommendation of the Advisory Committee on Negro Troop Policies under the direction of John McCloy, who was then the Assistant Secretary of War. And it was something that was done to appease those who felt that blacks were not being used effectively during a war and mainly just in a labor capacity. So this was one of those consolations that they made. This unit was created on the recommendation of the Advisory Committee on Negro Troop Policies under the direction of John McCloy, who was then Assistant Secretary of War. This was done as something to appease those in the black community who were disheartened at the large number of blacks that were being used purely in service functions throughout the war. The committee suggested the formation of the Parachute Regiment for purposes of enhancing the morale and esprit de corps of Negro people. After being sent to Camp McCall in North Carolina on 25 November 1944, the 555th remained in the States until the end of the war, so they never actually got to go overseas and fight, but they did go through the rigorous training and buildup that would have prepared them for war. Still, the unit distinguished themselves by fighting wildfires in the Pacific Northwest, and they became known as the Smoke Jumpers. Upon returning to North Carolina in October 1945, the Triple Nickel was moved to Fort Bragg until its deactivation in December 1947. Now, even though the unit would not see combat during World War II, alumni from their battalion would be the first to compose the all-black 2nd Ranger Battalion that was formed later. Racial stereotypes prevalent in 1950s America allowed the Army to keep black soldiers segregated from their white brethren, despite the fact that President Truman's Executive Order 9981 had been passed. Executive Order 9981 was signed into law in July 1948, and this law mandated the services to dismantle segregation in the military. When U.S. forces were drawn into the Korean conflict, Army had only taken tentative steps to enforce desegregation. So 2 years later, after the executive order had been passed, the Army still hadn't integrated, even though they had started on that way. In contrast, by 1949, the Air Force had completed integration of all their forces, and the Navy had moved pretty far in that path in 1949 as well, even though they had probably only 38% of their forces integrated. Ranger units were disbanded. Shortly after the end of World War II, a move to create these special battalions emerged during the 1950s. In accordance with the Army's racial policies, of segregated battalions were formed. Even though it appears that all the units did receive the same quality of training, irrespective of their race. So there's very few recollections of racism within the military ranks, meaning on base. But off base, that could definitely be a different situation. Every Ranger was a volunteer, and they had to meet a panel of seasoned professional soldiers prior to joining the battalion. Black volunteers who were selected for training were assigned to the 2nd Ranger Battalion. Many of those Black Ranger volunteers came from the 3rd Battalion, 505th Infantry Regiment, the 80th Anti-Aircraft Artillery Battalion, and the 758th Tank Battalion, Airborne. Also, a significant portion of the 2nd Ranger veterans were original smoke jumpers with the 555th PIR. Now, at the time, Black soldiers were kept in the Spring Lake Cantonment area of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And again, by most accounts, animosity did not exist between the white and Black Rangers. At least for enlisted men in both groups, they seemed to have a high level of mutual respect for each other. I mean, these were people who were chosen based on very specific skills that were not easy for everyone to meet, no matter what color their skin was. So there was that kind of camaraderie between them based on a high level of training and requisite physical strength, intelligence that was needed for those positions. So for any man who could survive the selection and training process, which was essential to becoming a ranger, then they would work together. Training for rangers was rigorous and involved weapons familiarization, map reading, assassination techniques, water and airborne infiltration into enemy-held territory, as well as sabotage and interdiction methods. Interdiction, basically, they're just cutting off the enemy's resources or getting in the way of them receiving their resources. The Rangers were meant to operate as self-contained units that ranged into and behind enemy lines. To ensure survivability and success, the trainees learned to operate Russian and Chinese weapons in addition to a full range of the American arms, and they had extensive hand-to-hand combat lessons. A typical complement of weapons and material for a Ranger company at this time would have included 18 BAR machine guns, 3 30 caliber light machine guns, 3 M1C sniper rifles, 45 caliber pistols, a knife, medical kits, and rope. So those were the standard outfit for a Ranger. Along with the standard load of equipment, select Rangers carry mission-specific weapons or other items, such as radios or mortar pieces and extra ammunition. The difficult yet fair training of the first Black Rangers formed a tight bond between these men. By the time they were called on to mobilize for action in Korea, the men had dubbed themselves the Buffalo Rangers in honor of the famed 92nd Infantry Division. And even though many soldiers in the battalion felt they would arrive in Korea too late to participate in the conflict, events would soon show that that prediction was premature. Now, I would like to pause there, and I'm going to cover this in two parts. So this is the first part. The next podcast, which will talk about what happened after they were selected for deployment to Korea, is going to be listed in about 2 weeks. So check back on the page in about 2 weeks, and you'll be able to hear the rest of the story on the first All Black Rangers. My sources for this are The Korean War by Max Hastings, The Employment of Negro Troops by Ulysses Lee, which is a very good document you can download in full for free from the U.S. Army historical website. And Ulysses Lee probably had the best record of documenting what Blacks experienced during the war in the famous Army Green Books, where they evaluate every aspect of the war once it was finished. But again, you can go to the U.S. Army historical website and download that. And there's a link in the show notes. So if you go onto my page, you can look at the show notes and go out there and get that document for yourself. Also use the Army Infantry and Lineage page. And a couple more books, Rangers in World War II by Robert W. Black. And most importantly, The All Black Rangers by Edward L. Posey. And Mr. Posey was one of these Rangers, and he's written a very excellent book recording what they went through. So again, please go to www.blackvalor.net and you can get the show notes. See what else we have on there. There's a gallery with some pictures of not only the 555th, but some of the other troops that actually fought during that day. And please leave your comments on the page, and I'll be sure to get back to you. And I look forward to talking to you again. This is Jamie M. Parks, and goodbye.